We are going to be talking about a subject that we don't talk about as a church very often. And I talk about when I say the church here and as well as the church as a whole. But we're beginning a new year, and as a church, my desire is to see us start off with a bang this year. And when I mean a bang, let me tell you what I'm talking about. The bang is a spiritual bang. And I'm talking about we're starting off this year in a season of fasting and praying. I'm going to scoot up a little bit because that light is right in the eyes there. Let me come up just a little. We're going to start off with a season of fasting and prayer. And fasting's not something that we talk about a whole lot anymore in the church. I just think basically because people don't want to do it. But that's not the only reason, and we'll talk about that one a little bit more in a minute. But there have been a lot of good books written about fasting by some wonderful authors. And as I talk about this tonight, I'm not pretending in any way to say that I know more than those men or that I can bring any more enlightenment to it than they can, men and women. But I want to talk a little bit about some of possibly the overlooked aspects of fasting, some of the overlooked aspects. Things that we don't always think about that the Word of God talks to us about when we enter into a season of fasting. Things that the Bible tells us to do and directs us to do during that time that we don't always think about. So if you have your Bible, turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 58. Isaiah 58. And we're going to read 9 verses there. And you say, why are we studying this? Well, because I had asked everybody that could to fast with me for the time period of January the 2nd through January the 20th for about 18 days, just to seek God and call for His kingdom to come and His will to be done, and just to get our tuners tuned in real good to the Holy Spirit for this season of time. But how many of you been a little bit busy over the Christmas and holiday time? I don't know about you, but I've been real busy. So it's time to retune in. It's been a good busy, but it's time to retune in on God and really get our ears back to the Spirit of the Lord. We've been celebrating, and now it's time to continue our celebration, but to do it in a way where we're cutting out some distractions. We've had plenty of distractions over the last month or so, and now it's time to cut out a few distractions and really put our ear to the ground and see what the Spirit is saying to us for this year. And I guarantee you, if you've been hearing anything like I've been hearing, and some of the things you're going to hear are really good. And so I'm excited about doing that. So the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1, it says, cry aloud and spare not. There's a direction right there from God. This is a time to cry aloud. This is a time to lift up our voice to the Lord. And not to spare, not to hold anything back. God is calling us to call out on His name and to do it with intensity and purpose and emotion. And it says, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways. So the Lord is saying here, so what the Bible is saying through the prophet Isaiah, He's saying, it's time to call out on the Lord. It's even though we have been seeking God, even though that has been a purpose that has been a major focus in our lives over the last few months and even years, God is still calling us to move in deeper. And He's calling us to be open. How many of you are ready to be open to whatever God wants to say? It's very important in this hour that we put aside our preconceived ideas and our arguments against what God might say and be ready to hear a word from God, because it's that word and acting upon that word and causing that word to come to life within us, it's going to make all the supernatural difference. And so He said, cry aloud. And then it says, I'm going to have to put my glasses on. I'm trying to do this without it, but you know, I'm not Superman anymore. So here we go. Anymore. Okay. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. And in verse 3, they say, why have we fasted and you have not seen? And why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasures and exploit all your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. And you will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? And then in verse 6, he begins to talk to us about his fast. He says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you may break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? And when you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourselves from your own flesh? If you'll do these things, then your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. And then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and he will say, here I am. You know, Pastor Bob and I have talked about fasting some, and every time I think about fasting, I think about what Pastor Bob said to me one time. He said, I don't know why they call it a fast, because it sure goes slow. And you know, I do understand that. I really do. Fasting has always been something that was been very difficult for me since I was first born again. It's beginning to get easier for me in my lifetime, in my walk with God. Now, the last few times that I have fasted, it's really been easier, and I'm beginning to understand why. But it was always hard for me at the very beginning, and primarily for two reasons it was difficult. The first one is I didn't understand why we were fasting. I understood. I mean, the pastor either called a fast, or somebody called a fast, or somebody said we ought to fast, but I didn't understand what a fast had to do with anything. I didn't understand why it had any relevance to what was going on. I didn't understand what tool it was and how God, the tool that it was, and how God could use it in such a powerful way to break through in a situation. I just didn't understand. How many of you have said, I'll admit that. I mean, there's been things about fasting I just didn't understand. I don't understand it. The second reason that I always found it hard to fast is during the fast, my focus was on how much I was suffering. Anyone else relate to that? I mean, you fast and basically your whole focus is on how much you're suffering. Yeah, well, and when you're thinking about how much you're suffering, then your focus is not on the Lord. When you're thinking about how much you're suffering, then all you're thinking about, the next thought that comes along after that one is, when is this going to be what? Over. And that's what you're thinking about. Anytime you're going through any suffering of any type, if you're focused on yourself and how that's affecting you negatively, then you're just going to be focusing on, when's this going to be done? And that's going to be primarily what you're going to be looking at. But if you're fasting and you're wondering, why is a fast so important, then I want you to think of something. Think of it this way. If I were to ask you, what's the most powerful carnal drive that we have, what would you say? Sex? Ego? What would you say? How about food? Is that one pretty powerful? It's the one we've all had the longest. From the moment you were born, after your mother loved on you a little bit, the drive to eat came in very powerfully. It's always present, and it's very, very powerful, and we've all been dealing with it all of our lives. And as we grow, if the truth would be told, our appetite and our diet is usually one of the most undisciplined areas of our lives. And I'm speaking in confession mode to you tonight. I grew up in a family where everything revolved around food. Anyone else grow up in one of those families? I mean, we would be sitting down eating lunch and they're talking about what they're going to have for dinner. And then when they get to dinner, they're talking about where they're going to go eat tomorrow night or where they're going to go eat breakfast in the morning. And the food is, it's like living when my family was like watching the Food Channel 24 hours a day. And I love to watch the Food Network because I grew up in that ethos there in my family, in that atmosphere of loving food. And I grew up and food became more to me than fuel. Food became comfort to me. Food became good times to me. Food became joy to me. And when it begins to take on those other aspects, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with enjoying a good meal together. We are supposed to do that. But when it takes on those other aspects, then it begins to operate in an area of our life that it really wasn't designated to operate in completely. And other factors begin to attach themselves to that desire to eat and to that desire to eat food and enjoy food. And some of you say, well, Pastor, isn't food necessary for life? Well, lots of things are necessary for life. I don't know how many things, but there's several things that are necessary for life. Some are voluntary and some are involuntary. Now, we're not going to fast heartbeats around here, and we're not going to fast breathing. Those are involuntary things that are necessary for our life. But although food is necessary for life, it's also one of the things that kills if it's not disciplined. It can kill us. It can have a negative impact in our life. It's needful on one hand because we have to have fuel to run our bodies. On the other side of the coin, if we enter into that unwisely, uneducated, and undisciplined, like this, I can hold it in, then it can hurt us and it can begin to kill us. And I'm going to tell you, how many of you have actually tried to change your eating habits? Is that an easy thing to do? Oh my goodness. So when we begin to try to change our eating habits, then we begin to understand how powerful that carnal piece of our lives. And when I say carnal, I'm not talking about necessarily sinful. Carnal is fleshly. It's part of our fleshly life, our physical life. There's three levels and areas of life, and one of these days we need to talk about those. I may get Pastor Roy up here sometime to teach us about the three areas of life. But it's one of our three areas of our life, but it's in the physical realm, okay? And to try to change that once it's gotten undisciplined is very, very, very difficult, and it can have very negative effects. And when we fast, let's just talk about on this level real quick. When we fast, it allows us to get control of the appetite. It allows us to get control through the Holy Spirit, through following the Spirit and depending upon Him. You're not doing this on your own. When you fast, you're not going, this is not a diet. I mean, my wife, I was kidding around when we were talking about going into the fast. I was kidding around, said, I'm not going to eat for 3 weeks because I've got this little holiday suitcase that I'm carrying around with me that came, thank you, Lorraine, from all that fudge that she made and all that food that we ate. But anyway, and Rhonda said real quick something that's so true. She said, honey, this isn't a diet. This is a fast. We're not dieting. We're not dieting here. We're not fasting to lose weight. If we do, hallelujah. But that's not why we're doing that. We are fasting to believe God for more control of His Spirit in every single area of our lives. And if we can break the most powerful carnal addiction that we have, then all the others can be broken. All the others can be broken. And I'm telling you, when I fast, I have to seek God about it. Because otherwise, my thought process, because if you're going to enter into a fast this way, okay, we're fasting. We're going without food. That's what we're doing. We're going without food. I tell you what, and then we're going to do this. We're going to do this with our food, and we're not going to do this with our food. And food and food and fast and diet and I have body and all that kind of stuff. And if you start thinking about that, you'll be miserable in the fast, and your whole focus will be off. What you want to do is focus on Jesus. That's what you want to do during the fast time. That's what it's all about. And then trust him. It's not a diet where you're trying to lose weight or change yourself. And then you just trust him in those areas to empower you and to walk you through that thing supernaturally, rather than walking through it and white knuckling and saying, it's a New Year's resolution and I'm going to try to change some things about myself. We are not the focus here. God is. All right? So that's one of the things we have to get straight from the very beginning. But 1 Corinthians 6:12, and we talked about this scripture a few weeks ago, says this: all things are lawful for me. And boy, when it comes to food, we Christians, we may not drink, we may not do a lot of other things. We may not have illicit sex, and we may not do a bunch of other things. But when it comes to food, don't get between us and the buffet line. After all, potluck is part of the Christian ethos, is part of the Christian culture. Don't stand between us and the food line. And although food is lawful, although there's nothing wrong with us eating, he says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. He says, all things are lawful for me. He said, but I'm not going to be brought under the power of any of these things. Food's for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. They're part of the physical realm that's going to be changed, okay? And he says, and then he goes on to say, now, and the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So our body is not our toy to have fun with. Our body is an instrument through which we serve the Lord. Okay? And that's what we're doing. That's what we're learning during fasting time. We're not just punishing ourselves. That's not going to change anybody. Us just putting ourselves through punishment for punishment's sake is not going to answer one prayer in heaven, and it's not going to change us. But if we put Jesus first and we trust him and we get out there and walk in total dependence in him, then I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, then some things are going to happen. Then we're going to see some things change. We as Americans, we really want to see God do things, but we want to see it happen on our terms. I don't want to change my eating habits. I don't want to change my sleeping habits. I don't want to change the times I come to church. I don't want to change the times we get together. I don't want to go to a small group. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that, but Lord, I'm open. You know what I'm saying? Lord, I'm open and I'm yours. Now that we're not going to do this and this and this, but Lord, you understand what I'm saying? I'm yours. Total surrender. And we call that total surrender to God. And so as Americans, we've got to get back to the place to where we are walking in that total dependence to the Holy Spirit. And the only way we're going to learn that is to step out. Step out. And that's part of what fasting is to step out, to take a purposeful step out in a biblical way to depend upon the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody not mad enough to say amen yet? Everybody's mad. Amen. You don't know how much I like my smothered pork chops. Amen. You know what? I do too. I go down there to Drew's and eat those smothered pork chops, and they put enough food on your plate for six people. You know, but listen, I want Jesus more than I want to be comfortable. Now, there's a lot of physically healthy reasons to fast, but I don't even want to go into those tonight. You'll get books and they'll talk about you getting rid of toxins and all of that other kind of stuff and cleaning your body out. Well, great. I believe that's a benefit of it, but that's not one of the benefits that I want to focus on tonight. Let's go back to Isaiah 58 and to try to get an understanding of the spiritual aspect of fasting. in Isaiah 58, verse 3, states that there is a fast that which is performed to no spiritual benefit. I'm going to tell you, who does not want to be a part of that one? Me, first of all, because I don't want to get into all this punishment of ourselves just for that sake if it has zero spiritual benefit. And verse 5 says that you can do that and God's not even moved by it. He says that kind of thing does not move me at all just because we afflict our bodies and start acting religiously. He's not moved by that. But verse 6 begins to tell us some things about what moves the hand of God in this area. First of all, I want to talk about the power of fasting. What does fasting do? What benefits are in it? We talked about some things, but spiritually, what can I expect? He lists them right here. Number one, to loose the bonds of wickedness. Some of you may have something in your life that you know is not pleasing to God. And I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying you have a bondage in your life. And you say, Lord, I would really like to see that bondage broken. I'd like to see the bonds of that broken out of my life. The Bible says that one of the powers that is released through fasting is to loose the bonds of wickedness, okay? Things that are not in line with the heart of God, the will of God. And boy, we need to fast not just for ourselves, but we need to fast for one another. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. You can fast for yourselves, but you can fast for someone else too. And there's examples in the scripture of that. But to loose the bonds of wickedness, you can keep trying to change yourself. You can keep focusing on trying to electric shock yourself into quitting a behavior or doing this or doing that thing. Or you can go before the Holy Spirit, admit your helplessness in this area, but say, Father, you have before me a step that I can take which will not change me in and of itself, but if I do it in total dependence upon the Holy Spirit, believing for a specific outcome, sometimes we fast and have no specific outcome. It's like shooting. Well, what are we shooting at? I don't know. We don't have a target, but let's just shoot. So when you're fasting during this time, I want you to think of something on this list. Not just you, but ask God, okay, and say, Lord, what on this list here that is released through the power of fasting do you want me to pray for a specific, you want me to believe for a specific situation? To loose the bonds of wickedness. Are there bonds of wickedness in your life or in your family or in the church or in this nation or in other nations of the world that God's told you to pray for that you believe that God's speaking into your life and saying, believe me for this? Second thing it tells us, one other power that's released is to undo heavy burdens. And heavy burdens, that's just something that you have on your shoulders that you're carrying. May not be in and of itself something that's sinful, the thing that you're carrying on you. It could be a concern that you have for someone or something about yourself or a situation in your life that doesn't seem to be changing. And I'm not saying by our fasting we're trying to change God. Fasting doesn't change God. Fasting changes us. And through changes in us, changes are released into the spiritual world. It has ramifications. And so through fasting, ask God, is there some situation that you want me to believe for where a burden is going to be taken off? Do you want me to fast for the finances of the church? And I'm not saying we have tremendously heavy burdens there, but we could grow in that area. There's no doubt about it. Do you want me to fast for a change in my own family's situations and lives? Do you want me to just fast for these type of changes? Ask God. Ask God if there's a burden that needs to be lifted that you're going to believe him for. The third power that fasting releases is to let the oppressed go free. There are some people that are like in jail. some situations where people are in bondage or being oppressed or almost like besieged by an army under constant attack and cannot seem to get free. God, is there somebody that you or some situation in which you want me to believe for you to release the power to break the oppressor, to set the oppressor free during this season? To set the ones that are oppressed is what I'm trying to say, not the oppressor. I don't care about him. No, I do. But those that are oppressed, do you want me to believe that they will be set free? And finally, it's to break every yoke. Do you know the anointing breaks the yoke? That's what the Bible tells us. Who needs a yoke broken? What do you see around you that has a bondage in it that needs to be destroyed? What is God saying, I want that free? That's mine. I want it free. Can you come into agreement with him over that? During this time, ask him. There may be just something on your heart. There may be something that's boiling there already. Go into it. Go, take that, if that's what God releases for you. Take that up and believe for it. If you want to fast for the church, here's what I say. This is going to be a year of joy for us. This is going to be a year in which the enemy, we're going to see some judgments fall on some things. I'm just going to tell you. I really believe in this country and around this country, we're going to continue to see some dominoes fall. We're going to see some judgments continue to happen. As long as we go for these goofy solutions to these problems, then we're going to, and it's not really deal with the root, and we continue to lie and steal and do all these other kind of things, then we're going to continue to see dominoes fall. But in the midst of that, and I'm kind of stealing a little thunder that I may talk about on Sunday, in the midst of that, God's already told me there's going to be fruit on the ground for my people. He said, in the midst of these things falling, there's going to be sheaves that are going to be left, and my people are going to be picking them up with joy. And they've been crying and they've been praying, but they're going to begin to see fruits of their labor. I'm leaving sheaves laying around for them as I go around, and as people begin to reap what they've sown, my people are also going to reap what they've sown. And if you've sown in tears and in fasting and in prayer and in obedience to God, then you're going to go forth rejoicing, carrying your sheaves with you. In the midst, I don't care what happens, in the midst of destruction, in the midst of unbelievable agony, we haven't seen the last of unexplainable things that are going to happen that are extremely tragic. Lots of things are going to happen, but I'm going to tell you, God is going to do some things for his people this year. Those that are serious about him, that have the heart of Ruth, that are willing to go into and glean in the field, to lay down their own selfish ambition, to help other people, to love their Naomis, to take care of them and to minister to them, God's going to leave some things. And there's going to be a kinsman redeemer that's going to find yourself reaping in his field. And he's going to be directing what's happening there. I may preach about that Sunday, but boy, I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen this year for God's people. I believe it with all my heart. Take it. Believe for it. And get into agreement with it. And that's what we're doing for this time period. We do have enemies that don't want to see it happen. But if we get in agreement with God, there's nothing can stop it. If we're complacent about it, then some of it will slide by. But if we get in agreement and get militant about it, then you know what? Nothing's going to stop it. God, you know, Jesus one time was talking, and he was talking about that unjust judge and the woman that was praying. Pastor Bob's taught on this so many times, and Jesus' comment on that was, when I return, will I find faithfulness? You say, that's really literally what he's saying in the original language. Will I find faithfulness on the earth? Will I find people who know my plan, who know my ways, and are willing to just be faithfully walking them out? Those are the people that are going to, even the unjust judge is going to have to give up. Even the one who you would look at, the one who has control and says, there ain't no way they're going to let go of that. Yeah, they will. They will. If we will be faithful, as Jesus said, in our place to believe and come into agreement with God. All right. So when we look at these things, there's an implication scripturally surrounding these issues. And that implication here is that fasting, our involvement in fasting and obedience to the Spirit and in agreement with Him will violently destroy these things, whether they want to be destroyed or not. It doesn't matter if they want to be changed. In the original language, there's an implication there of it being a violent activity in the Spirit that attacks those things and tears them down. When I was fasting, I was always on the defensive, trying to survive the fast. On the defensive. When I'm fasting, I'm just defensive. When's this going to be over? What can I eat? Oh, I can't eat that. Oh, man. You know what I'm saying? And that's the way you are the whole time. Just on the defensive in the fast. You look like you're the one under attack. Oh, my God, we're under attack. Pastor called a fast. You know what I mean? But fasting is an offensive weapon. We're not on the defensive when we go into a fast. We go on the offensive against the things that hold us captive or other people captive or things that Jesus has looked at and says, I want that. That's mine. Now, who's willing to take the field and get it for me? Led out by the captain of the host, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Daniel fasted for himself for revelation, but he also fasted for Israel for their forgiveness and their freedom, didn't he? Is that Daniel 11, I think, Pastor Bob? Isn't that right? We see the prayer where Daniel was fasting, and he did what he did, a Daniel fast. He didn't totally fast food. He didn't stop eating food. Moses did in his, and that's like a supernatural fast. He ate and drank nothing. Jesus did the same thing, and I'd say you better hear from God if you're going to do that one. All right, let God lead you into that. But Daniel, he just fasted pleasant things. He didn't eat any of the things that he really liked to gorge in his body during that time. I'm going to tell you, during this time, I'm going to eat some food, but I'm not going to eat any sugar. I'm not going to drink anything but water. I'm not going to eat any meat at all. None. Okay? It's going to be vegetables and green things, and that's it. And fruit, which I don't like. I'm adding something in there I don't like because I'm determined. I ate the fruit today. You know, honey, the fruit was the best thing I ate tonight. It really was. I had things in front of me that I really, really liked, and I ate the fruit, and tasted the best to me. And I said, boy, this is going to be a good fast, man. We're on the offensive. Hallelujah. This is a God thing. This is going to happen. Oh, boy. Man, I'm excited. So, fasting's not an excuse for us to be pitiful. We're to wash our faces and comb our hair and go about our business as normal to others as they're looking at us. Because our warfare is not against flesh and blood, right? Either other people or our enemies. We're not at war against one another or other people. We're at war against things in the Spirit. Matthew 6:16, Jesus said, moreover, when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. Some of you, when you're fasting, man, you just walk around like this. I don't know if I can make it one more day. And your people at work go, Gene, what is wrong with you, man? And you go, well, I can't tell you. I can't tell you. Well, why can't you tell me? Well, I'm not supposed to. But boy, I feel bad. I'm just getting my rear end kicked during this. This is just terrible. Well, how about some lunch? No, I can't eat any lunch. Why can't you? Sick? No, not really. But I can't talk about it. Well, they're not stupid. After a while, most of them say, are you fasting? Yeah, I'm fasting. The pastor called a fast. Well, sure, you know, he looking at you and said, boy, he's really in the victory, isn't he? You know, he's like, they're looking at you going, boy, this Christian stuff is a bunch of legalistic, painful, heartbreaking, defeatist stuff. And I'm not saying it's always easy, but just think about it from somebody else's perspective. And think about it from the enemy's perspective. Put yourself in his shoes looking at that. This is the wimpiest bunch of people I have ever seen in my life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, God forbid anything real would ever come against them. They'd take a licking and wouldn't keep on ticking. There is no doubt about it. But Jesus said, these hypocrites, and you know what hypocrites are? They're play actors. Hypocrites are people that say they're one thing, but then when the rubber hits the road, they act a different way. Oh, brother. You know, oh, man. They don't really understand spiritual dynamics. They don't understand the Word of God. And they just, like I said, they're surrendered to Jesus unless it hits any of these seven or eight areas. Now, Pastor, you got to understand, I watch TV during these time periods. I got shows I watch. Well, you know what? I tried to tell the Lord that one time. Lord said, well, you want me to leave you alone with your show, or you want some revelation? What if I want to talk to you during your show? Well, you'll just have to wait. Well, thank God now for DVR or whatever. Somebody can record your show, pile them up, and watch them when the fast is over. But do you see what I'm saying? I mean, look at these things from a spiritual aspect. And some of you say, well, I still don't understand the fast. Well, do you understand healing? Do you understand salvation completely? Tell me all the things spiritually you completely understand. You completely understand the love of God? You don't have to understand something for it to be effective. So if God says it's effective, then we say yes and amen. Hallelujah. And he says, these hypocrites disfigure their faces so they can appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Right there, whatever acclamation they got from people, if they got any, that's all they're going to get out of that fast. But when you fast, anoint your head, put on your clean face, wash your face, so you don't appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will what? Reward you openly. I love those last four words. Will reward you openly. How many of you know God will do something for you? You want to know that. He's going to do it. How many of you want a reward? How many of you want for yourself, would like it for yourself in this instance? How many of you want it to be open? Man, you just like it to be a testimony to God. Well, this is the author of our salvation talking right here. And he means what he says. He practiced fasting himself. The Son of Man, who had no sin, no bonds of wickedness to loose out of his life, he fasted, sought his Father. He was going to be sure that there was nothing in his life that had any control over him or any power other than the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I don't believe in walking around looking like you swallowed pickle juice, but I don't think that when we're fasting, we ought to distract ourselves with all these pleasures either. You know, well, I'm hurting so bad, at least I can watch one of these movies or one of this. And I'm not saying that's evil, but you understand what I'm saying. When we get to the place where we just want to try to ease our pain a little bit by getting into something that just makes us happy, some kind of pleasure we get, and nor do we walk around angry because we're hurting and give everybody you know what around us. Here's what we're to do. Let's talk about the ministry of fasting. Okay, the ministry. I thought, what do we do while we're fasting? Number one, the Bible says, share your food that you will not eat with others. And that doesn't mean it's spoiled and you won't eat it. Share the food that you're not going to be giving to yourself during that time. Share it with somebody who has a need. Take somebody out to lunch. Buy them or hand that money that you would spend on yourself during the lunch periods, if you're fasting lunch, if that's what something you're going to hand it to somebody who has a need. Say, here, take this money. And buy some food with it. Enjoy yourself. You have a need. Take this. So the Bible says that when we're fasting, we're not just sitting around looking at the clock thinking, when's this going to be over with? We're actively ministering during our fast. Do you understand? This is one of the overlooked aspects of fasting. It also says, take others into your home for ministry during that time. Are you kidding? We can't eat anything and we're all in pain. We can't do any ministry during this time. The Bible says, take others into your home for ministry during that time. Bring them in. Say, come on in here. We believe the Holy Spirit's going to move. Okay? A third thing that it says that we do during that time is clothe those who need clothing. You know, find somebody that has practical needs and meet those practical needs. Another thing that it says is minister to your family. Some people get so grumpy when they're fasting, you know what I mean? Or when they're without food, or when God's told them to do something, they just take it out on their family. You know, it's like, gee whiz, we would all be better off if you didn't obey God. Because your attitude while you're doing it is terrible. Please do us a favor and tell us the next time he tells you to do something so we can all go on vacation while you're trying to be obedient. The Bible says don't turn your body away from your own flesh and blood. Minister to them. Love on them. Be kind to them. Meet their needs. Talk to them. Get outside of yourself. See, if you're not careful when you fast, what can happen to you? You can get inverted. And that's what the Bible's telling us not to do during a fast time. Do you know you may get the revelation that you're seeking God for while you're reaching your hand out to somebody else? It might just come to you right there. Wow. Some of you are praying what God wants you to do with your life while you're fasting and saying, God, I'd love to get some revelation in what you want me to do. While you're out ministering in these areas to other people, he might just speak it to you or reveal it to you just right there. You say, wow, awesome. Praise God. So that's the ministry of fasting, and that's the overlooked aspect, as I said, that we don't do a lot of times during fasting. And last but not least, if we seek God humbly and on His terms, we can expect to experience some products of powerful fasting. We can expect to experience some outcomes. What are they? Number one, your light shall break forth like the morning. Now, when I did a little bit of research on this, light, what is light? What does that mean? That my light will break forth. And I began to look in the Hebrew language at what this means. It says, like a lamp coming on in your life. Like the light of heaven flooding your life. Like light that breaks on a clear, sunshiny day after the rain and after the storm. Like the light of life, like new life breaking forth in your life. Like the light of prosperity. All of a sudden, your soul, you begin to prosper as your soul is prospering. Like the light of instruction, all of a sudden you getting that word that you needed to be able to take the next step. And boy, the last one I really like the light of the face. Man, the face of the Father looking right at you, and a breakthrough in your knowledge of who He is and your relationship with Him. The light of the face. My light will break forth like the morning. You remember how it's like when you sit in your house in the morning? It's unlike any other time. Because when the sun comes up, it's overhead and the light's diffused everywhere. But in the morning, when that morning sun comes, that light is focused and directed. And when it starts coming in the windows, it's like it's directed at a certain place, and it's so bright and so strong. You ever driven to work in the morning with the sun in your eyes? The breakthrough of the light of the morning? Man, is it strong? It's powerful, isn't it? And so that's what God says. One of the products of fasting is the breakthrough of the light of the morning. The second thing He said is your healing will speedily appear. In Hebrew, this is that word means a long bandage. And really what that means is a long bandage, a big bandage. It's not just a little Band-Aid. This is like a big, big bandage that somebody puts on somebody after surgery's been done, after the problem's been corrected. He said, I'm going to finish your healing. I'm going to finish it. It's been in process. I'm going to finish it. Is that good to anybody else? How many of you are ready for some things to finish? Jesus said, it is finished. That was one of the things that he said. All right. The third thing that is a product of fasting is your righteousness shall go before you. In other words, it's going to start being your leader rather than your flesh leading you, rather than your bad attitudes leading you, rather than other things being things that are leading you in your life and determining how you're going to respond to things. The Bible says righteousness is going to be your leader. And that's the righteousness of Jesus, not something you're trying to work out on your own. But it's all of a sudden you're going to have a realization of that righteousness in your life and in such a way that it's going to start dictating how you respond. Ooh, I want that one bad. Amen. Pastor Parkey, that's good. That's good. That's a good word. Thank you, Jesus, for the word. Thank you, Lord. The other thing it says a product of fasting is the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. He'll go before you and then be behind you at the same time. Some of you are so worried about your back. What's going to happen? What's going to slip up behind me? What's going to get me? The glory of the Lord is going to be your rear guard. Just like he did in Israel. He was in front of them and he went behind them and fought their enemies behind them while they were doing the work of the Lord. While they were obeying them and trying to overtake them from behind, God stood behind them between them and their enemies and kept them at bay while they were vulnerable. God says, it's okay, this is the year to be vulnerable and I'll be your rear guard. And finally, and this one's good enough. He says, then you shall call and the Lord will answer and say, here I am. Oh, now, I've enjoyed a lot of things in my life, and I know you have too. But there is nothing in comparison to hearing God speak. Nothing like that. And he said, I'm going to speak to you. You're going to hear me. He said, you're going to call, and I'm going to answer. Now, if that's not enough reason to fast right there, but all these others are beautiful, but if that's not enough reason right there just to say, Lord, I've been busy celebrating your birth, and there's nothing wrong with that, that's good, but right now, I want to seek you. I've been making merry with other people, but right now, I'm going to seek you because I want to hear you. I want to hear you. I want to see you manifest yourself in my life. I want to experience the changes of God, not for my glory or for my comfort, but for your good and for your testimony of who you are. And I believe that if we join together and we fast and pray during this time, God will not only break through on us individually, he's going to break through on us corporately during this period of time. He has prizes in store for us we don't even know. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But he's going to reveal them. They're coming. Amen. So as we fast during this time, God may call you. He may just tell you to fast TV. Whatever he tells you to do, that's fine. He may tell you to lay off sugar. He may tell you to only drink water, not drink any of your favorite soft drinks that you drink. He may tell you to not eat lunch. He may tell you to go on a Jewish fast. You don't eat till sundown. You don't eat anything, you know, or until you eat breakfast in the morning and don't eat anything else during the day or whatever. Whatever he tells you to do, or he may just tell you don't eat anything. Eat these certain things. That's what he does. That's what he does me. When I fast, he'll tell me, this is the way I want you to do it. And sometimes I'll say, well, can I do this too? Because I want this broken. But don't just fast for no reason either. Ask God for the target. Because this is offensive. Church-wise, it's going to be our greatest year. I don't know what that's going to mean numbers-wise. I'm not even worried about that. If it's a lot of numbers, that's fine. Whatever God wants to do. But what's more important to me is quality. This is going to be the year that we are going to see breakthrough and like we've never seen it before. My greatest joy is to see you get your breakthrough. Okay? So we're going to do this together. We're going to go on the offensive together. And we're going to glean in God's field together. And the kinsman redeemer is telling those angels, he's saying, I want you to knock over some things here, and I want you to pull up some things over here because I'm through with them. He says, but while you're doing that, leave some stuff for my people. He's saying, I want you to leave some stuff for my people and leave it there. He says, because when they're through with this, I want them to go home with a full apron so that people, when the people say, man, you had a great year this year, say, yeah, I sure did because of God. That's exactly what happened. God, my kinsman redeemer, my God in heaven, he said he was true to his word. He said, weeping may endure for a time, but joy comes in the morning. He said that we may go forth crying for a season and sowing seed. He said, but there is a time of reaping. And he said, we hit one of those times, and praise God for that. And I give him thanks for it. All right? Okay, well, let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness to us. I exalt you tonight. Lord, I remember what you told me even when we were worshiping tonight. I felt something happening and I heard you say to me, see, I told you. I heard you say that to me, Lord. I said, see, there's more to come. And Father, I give you praise for that. I thank you. Not because of us, but because you are good. And your mercy endures forever. And Lord, you love people. And you're going after them full force. And Lord, there is no person that can defy God. God is not mocked. If people continue to sow evil, they will eventually reap that back. But Lord, those that continually sow seed, weeping in precious belief in God and faithfulness in their King, praying the word of God and standing on God, they shall also reap. So Lord, we give you praise for this thing. And we're walking forth not in pitiful, woe is us. We're happy. We got our faces washed. We got our head anointed. And we're going out there believing that we're going to pick something up, something good during this time. Lord, I give you praise. And I'm believing with my brothers and sisters right now, everything that you have planned for this year, that you have set your eyes on, we declare it's yours this year in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for that. There is no devil in hell and no enemy that's made of flesh that is going to stop your plan. Father, I give you praise that you are a God who is going to see your will through all the way to the end. Lord, we come into agreement and we say we are a platform right here upon which you can build your kingdom. Come and establish your kingdom right here in this house. Lord, let your will be done right here in this place. Father, I just pray over every human that's breathing in this house. I am asking you, Lord, that you would work in their lives in such a way, Father God, that they would be astounded. And Lord, I want to thank you that you're correcting those things that are out of balance because you are a master builder. And Lord, I want to give you praise tonight, Lord God, that you are fulfilling your word, that you are fulfilling your prophecies, that you are fulfilling everything that you have told your people. Father, this is a year of revelation. You are going to tell your people things that are to come. And as you tell them those things, then those will be words that will be direction for them to go on the offensive in prayer, in action. Lord, I thank you that we're going to be given lots of things this year upon which we're going to be able to share with those that are struggling. I know that in this house, this year is coming food, furniture, clothing, and money, and all types of things, Lord, that can be used to minister to the people out there that have a need. Father, I believe that when we hand those things out, there's going to be spiritual anointing attached to them. Not just a physical need's going to be met, but a spiritual anointing is going to go with it. And it's going to break down the enemy's strongholds. Father, I thank you that this is a place of emotional healing. This is a place where people can come and get free from long-held emotional bondages. I thank you that women are being set free from sexual abuse in this house. I thank you that patterns of abuse that have been in families and been passed down from generation to generation are stopping in this house, stopping with this generation right now. I thank you that long-established systems of poverty in families are being broken in Jesus' name. I thank you that those long-established cycles of poverty are broken in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that our people have healing in their hands, and I thank you that when they go forth and lay their hands on the sick outside of these walls and inside, but primarily outside, they're going to recover in the name of Jesus. I thank you that we are a people of boldness, that we don't have fear to testify of God. If they can believe in Hale-Bopp comets and they can believe in superstitions and the signs of Aquarius and all of that goofy stuff that they believe in, then why should we be ashamed to believe in a real person that walked on this earth, that died for the sins of mankind and raised because there's an empty tomb sitting there, right there? Lord, we're not going to be ashamed this year to talk about Jesus. We're not going to sit there and worry about what it looks like and what they're thinking, because their thinking is about things is more goofy in a lot of ways than any other things we could think about. So, Father, I give you praise, glory, and honor. And I thank you that when we speak your words, there's a power in those words. And we may walk away and not see the final effect at the beginning, but those words are like lightning, and the aftershock is like thunder. And it's going to roll and roll and roll and shake everything and everybody that it touches. Lord, I thank you that this house is going to be filled with young people and young adults and older adults and those that are willing to teach the younger ones how to pray and how to seek God and how to love and to be examples of service. But Lord, they're also going to allow them to worship the Lord in the newness of the Spirit. And Father, I thank you. And Lord, I'm looking to you. We don't have a problem in this house that it doesn't have an answer, because the King of Kings is our answer. And Lord, I also believe this is the year when those that we termed unsavable are going to be saved. I believe this is the year of Saul of Tarsus coming to know the Lord. I believe that this year. And Father, we're not going to be afraid and despair when you start knocking over a few things in judgment. Instead, we're going to scramble around and start looking for sheaves. It's very important that you understand that that's part of what's going to happen this year. I saw that from the Lord. It's not going to be a year of joy, because not bad things will not happen. Because God's going to knock a few things over, things that have long been in rebellion against him. But when they're knocked over, instead of getting scared and being an introvert, we need to be like ants that run to the place that everything was knocked over and start picking things up and rebuilding and healing. We need to see those as God-ordained opportunities. Thank you, Lord. To love and to pour out his Spirit, to see his Spirit poured out through us. So, Father, we're going to give you glory.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
In the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. We're on the offensive. Everybody say we're on the offensive. We're on the offensive. We're on the offensive. Now, I've been through a lot of seasons with this church, and there's been some times the Lord says, that's not the season you're in. He says, sometimes he says, you're in a winter season. Don't see things happening on the surface. They're happening underground right now, and you can't see them. But that's not the season we're in. You got to know your seasons. This is a different season now. This is a season of picking up sheaves.